preliminary observations. First of all, the retreat begins, as of now, with this evening's conference, and I'll end on Tuesday afternoon with a benediction and a blessing of the disciples. Needless to say, this is a very short retreat. The standard retreat, as understood by St. Ignatius, lasts 34 days. When I was in the novitiate, 5 meditations each day for 30 days and in silence. Consequently, we'll have to put it mildly, concentrate. There are all told for our present retreat 1 meditation, calling a conference this evening, 4 tomorrow, and 3 on Tuesday, a total of 8. I'm not sure whether you have received those pages on Mysterium Fidei. Just a word of explanation. My 29th year in working for the Holy See, I was called twice to Rome by the Holy Father Secretary to do everything I could to strengthen the faith of those Catholics who still believed in the real presence, but especially to do everything I could to restore the faith of those millions of once professed Catholics in our country who no longer believe in the real presence. I had thought of having this retreat for you women and the one starting on Wednesday to Sunday morning for the men, all exclusively on the Holy Eucharist. But after prayerful reflection, I've decided, no, I will distribute among the retreats yourselves. Pope Paul VI had a signature called Mysterium Fidei, in English, Mystery of Faith, issued by the Holy Father in 1965, before the Second Vatican Council closed. My plan, therefore, for this retreat is to concentrate on 8 major issues of our spiritual life, for each one of our Holy conferences. Better, I prefer meditations. But distribute, as I have just done, among you, my own, not interpretation, but summary analysis of Pope Paul VI's document on the real presence. I am asking all of you to read carefully and prayerfully the pages you have received, with apologies for the misspelling and sometimes the grammar. I have to say it was done by someone else based on the lectures that I gave. Your own Holy See over the years has told me to call and reduce papal documents into a condensed catechetical form. What you have in your hands, it'll be published. The Catholic Church is going through the most serious crisis of our 2,000 years of existence. We have lost, since the Second Vatican Council, 90% of our Catholic seminarians in America. Over 60 parishes closed in Chicago alone. Another 40 in Detroit, where I live. And it is a crisis of faith, and with resounding emphasis, especially of faith in the real presence. We are only as Catholic as we believe that Jesus Christ is on earth in the Holy Eucharist. Tomorrow evening there will be a question and answer, call that session. As most of you, I'm sure, know, there is a question box already available, or will soon be available, in which I ask all of you to put in your questions. But think them through carefully, not so much in a lot of words. Condense the words, but concentrate your thoughts, so that tomorrow evening, through our question and answer session, I'll do my best to answer those questions. Confessions are essential to making a good retreat. Unfortunately, Father Richard Brown from Dallas, Texas, was to be there and say my co-worker in this retreat was not able to come. And Father Engelbert from Detroit, he'll be coming into Chicago late this evening, and he will be unavailable, along with other priests and myself, for confessions. In the very short time at our disposal, it may not be easy, but don't hesitate imposing on us priests, and I mean it, and beyond midnight, get to confession. Just a very brief observation on how to make a good retreat. First of all, in silence, which I've said to some of you many times, I define silence as selective conversation. Instead of talking to yourself or to other people, talk with God. Talk with our Lord. If there is one thing that our society needs, desperately needs, is Catholic believers who spend as much time as they can in conversation with Jesus Christ. Secondly, do some reading. This is imperative. Write. Spell W-R-I-T-E, exclamation mark. I watch too many people talking. Most people can talk by the hour without thinking. You cannot write without thinking. You can scribble, you can scroll, you cannot write. The single most important faculty that we have that must be trained in the spiritual life is the mind. The mind by itself is a wild, and I mean very wild animal. It needs to be tamed over the years. Now, my 51st year in the priesthood, I can't believe it. I've learned an awful lot. One thing I've learned, the bedrock of a sound spiritual life is self-control in the mind. Control your thoughts and you control your desires. Control your desires and you control your actions. Control your actions and you shape your habits. And according to our habits, if they're good, we call them virtues. If they're bad, we call them vices. According to our habits, we shall either reach our eternal destiny or we shall not. It all begins in the mind. So much by way of introduction. And now, for each of our meditations, you'll have one basic title. As I'm sure most of you know, the most basic and primary meditation in a retreat is called the principle and foundation. That's the subject of this evening's meditation. The principle, PLE, and foundation. And as St. Ignatius, now over the centuries, has told us, try to divide as much as you can, whenever you can, either what you say or what you write or what you do into threes in honor of the Holy Trinity. How well I remember from the child, my widowed mother, father died when I was a year old. I never knew him. Every morning, as soon as they got up, the Angelus. Every noon, the Angelus. Six in the evening, things as by now some of you know, I am not above, well, recommending resolutions for the retreat. We're beginning now. If you are not seeing the answers 3 times a day, pardon me, start doing so. If you don't know the answers, pardon me, learn it. Memorize it. Can your mothers teach your children to see the answers? One of the 3 parts of our meditation is here. What else? Accept 3 questions. Why do we exist? Second, why does the rest of the world exist? Are the human beings, the sun, moon, and stars, the mountains and seas, and above all, the people, among whom and with whom we live? And 3rd question, how are we to use these other beings in our lives? 2 eyes and 1 arm. Why do we exist? Over the years, besides completing my graduate studies in psychology, where I got my doctorate in theology, and ever since, over the years, one of my favorite apostolates is helping people who are emotionally, or as we sometimes say, mentally, either distraught, handicapped, or even deranged. My favorite definition of an insane person is one who thinks they exist for this world. That's real insanity. A priest friend of mine from St. Louis called me up one day. Johnny, said, that's my name. You know what I found out? The United States is one national insane asylum, and the inmates are in charge. I like that. Millions have no idea of why they exist. Has both reason when that reason is rational, and our faith tells us we exist in order to return to the God from whom we came. It is bedrock, even rationality, not to say Christianity, and all of us, every single one of us. What version of I use was nothing, and I mean nothing, zero, in Latin, nihil, until in God's mysterious providence, when our father and mother as we casually say conceived us, let's make sure we know this is bedrock Christianity. Our parents did not give us our souls. They gave us all they could give, our bodies. And the moment, and the ovum is fertilized, and that moment, so our Catholic faith teaches, and that moment, God creates an immortal human soul out of nothing, and as the Church says, infuses, strange verb, infuses that immortal soul into the fertilized ovum, and that for us Catholics is human conception. There is no such thing as an embryo. There are only human beings from the moment of conception. Why then do we exist? We exist to return to the God from whom we came, and except for whom, let's see, I know there's a few empty chairs here in chapel. Except for God, you would be, well, the empty chair, and me too. Over the years in teaching my own Jesuits their theology, what an experience, 25 years of teaching very intelligent men. I told them, brother, you wouldn't be in the Society of Jesus unless you were above average in intelligence. Well, the hardest virtue for you to practice is humility. How we need to humbly accept the most basic truth of Christianity. We were nothing, and the word is nothing, and accept for the loving goodness of God has changed it. For the loving omnipotence of God none of us would be here. We'd be the empty seats here in chapel. God being the all-wise, eternal being, you've got to have to bring it into existence. Here's absolutely no, no. In fact, on the best definitions of God. Is God is a being who cannot not exist. And the best definition for us is that we are beings who need not exist. And the same omnipotence, the loving God, who is all powerful, and we will talk about divine omnipotence for days, but in one sentence, omnipotence is a power to bring something which does not exist into existence. May God, being not only almighty, omnipotent, is also all-loving, inherent at the beginning of the retreat. We love another person only as much as you want to give that other person without, I don't say demanding, but even expecting anything in return. Please, Father, watch your language. I'm watching it. Oh, how we Americans need to re-examine our vocabulary. To love means to give and keep giving and not, I repeat, not just not demanding, but not even expecting in return. And that is why God, as St. John defines him, St. John the Evangelist, God is love. God did not need us. Why did he bring us into existence? Out of love. And most mysterious of all, loved us even before we, pardon me, before we existed. Unless you mothers love the children we were brought into this world, well, you don't have to be a theologian to know that children do not exist.